This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome to the weekend. Larry Richard getting ready for Steelers opener on Sunday with the Chargers coming in here at 2-0. It's Pitt homecoming. A lot going on this week, including a conversation about recreational marijuana. There was a bill, House Bill 2500, sponsored by Representative Aaron Coffer. It is a bipartisan bill that differs from past marijuana legislation. Joining us is Teresa Nightingale with Pittsburgh Normal. Teresa, good morning. Appreciate your time.
Oh, good morning. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
For those that don't know, Normal's been around a long time as an organization, a long, long time.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of the oldest national organizations for the reform of marijuana law that exists.
So we know that Ohio, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Washington, D.C., the entire country of Canada has recreational cannabis laws. Pennsylvania, obviously, is surrounded, but it never seems to get real legs to pass. So what do you think are the odds of this legislation maybe becoming a reality?
I'm an eternal optimist, this is a really great piece of legislation that actually is bipartisan. As you mentioned, it does have bipartisan support. Emily Kincaid is a co-sponsor as well. We're optimistic. Our neighbors have legalized, and we're hoping to be able to take advantage of some of the benefits that come from that.
So there's a little bit of confusion because there's another bill that really is not exactly the same. Can you tell us the difference between the two?
Sure. There's another bill that was introduced by Representative Dan Frankel, who we love. But that bill focuses more on the adult state store method. For adult use, it focuses more on the state store method, kind of like you would buy alcohol currently. We're not a big fan or proponent of that as grassroots activists, just because as much as we love the unions and we love the state stores and the people that work for them, we just think that they're not really ready to do that. For the medical marijuana program, the stores that sell this product are highly regulated. There's vaults. There's a lot of compliance work that goes into that. We just don't think the state stores are ready for that. And another component of that is with legalization, one of the reasons we really want to do that is for the social justice angle. The people that have been most impacted by the war on drugs are Black and brown folks and working class Pennsylvanians. And if the state store model would pass, that would kind of make a glass ceiling for them, so that they wouldn't be owners ever. They would only be able to be managers or general managers, and we just don't think that's fair.
All right, so aside from how it would be distributed, back to House Bill 2500, I know that one of the things that supporters are trying to do is have records expunged for people who have been convicted of cannabis over a course of, at this point, many decades.
Sure.
Is that in this legislation?
Yes. It also HB 2500 would provide a cannabis clean slate provision for retroactive expungements of cannabis felonies and misdemeanors. So those serving cannabis-related sentences can apply for commutation, and if a sentence was enhanced due to a cannabis conviction, the defendant could seek resentencing.
So what is the next step, and what is the timeline, do you believe, in the process here?
I don't really have a timeline exactly, but I will say I'm optimistic in that October 1st, we are going to Harrisburg as grassroots activists and as multi-state operators. And, we're going to lobby on the steps of the Capitol and hope our voices are heard. And then we hope to go inside and educate House Republicans on why it's important to co-sponsor this very important bill. But we need all the help we can get. So if you're someone listening and you support adult use legislation, we encourage you, reach out to your House members, ask them to co-sponsor HB 2500, and also ask your senators as well, because hopefully this is coming down the pipeline for them. And if you care about adding things like DUI protections and, more workplace rights and things like that, maybe adult use home grow for people who aren't medical patients, feel free to, add that whenever you call and ask. This is the time to ask for change and things you want in this bill.
And in a perfect world, of which it's not, but best case scenario, timeline-wise, when could people purchase legally cannabis in Pennsylvania?
That's a really hard question to answer. Even if it was implemented tomorrow, it would probably take several months to actually get up and put into effect. I know the new bill makes it so that people who already are licensed owners, they are allowed to potentially obtain one new license, but the rest of the licenses, which currently don't have a cap as of this moment, would be able to be opened up by anyone else who wants to get a license. There are micro licenses and bigger licenses with this bill. So it would take a while for those companies probably to, you know, get compliant and be able to comply with state regulations, be able to sell the product, grow the product, process the product. So a little bit of time.
We'll continue to follow the story. Tracy, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Have a great day.
Teresa Nightingale, Executive Director of Pittsburgh Normal on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show. Download our free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go, AUDACY. You can also follow our Friday Night Lights. Tonight's KDK Radio High School Football Game of the Week, powered by Bowser Chevrolet, Trinity and Bethel Park. And it begins at 6 with our kickoff show, the Sport Out Financial Kickoff Show here on KDKA. And right now, we are joined by Carol Johnson, Administrator for the Health Resources and Services Administration. Welcome to KDK, Carol.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
I think it's a very important conversation because we're talking about fighting issues. We hear all the time how we need help with opioid crisis, the mental health crisis, and this is why we're talking today, right?
Absolutely. This is a big week for us in the Biden-Harris administration. We are making an historic investment in expanding access to mental health and substance use disorder treatment by making it available in the community health centers that we fund that already provide primary care in neighborhoods across your community.
Yeah, so expand for us on what will that mean? What will the impact be here in southwestern Pennsylvania?
Well, we are providing across Pennsylvania, it's $7.7 million, but much of that money is coming to the Pittsburgh area. We fund, for example, the Squirrel Hill Health Center in Pittsburgh that provides services in Brentwood and in Wilkinsburg and in Mooncrest and in Bellevue. And many of the health centers that we fund provide primary care today and try to provide as much mental health care as they can, but haven't had the resources or the capacity to meet the incredible demand for mental health needs and for substance use disorder treatment. In fact, across the country, we see that our primary care health centers only able to meet about 25% of the mental health demand, about 6% of their patients' substance use disorder needs. And we knew we had to do more. And that's why we're making this significant infusion of dollars so that community health centers across the Pittsburgh area will be able to expand these services, better serve families, better meet the needs across the community.
So let's dig into the details of that. So specifically, what will these funds help do here in our hometown?
So at least one of our health centers here in Pittsburgh is going to is planning on developing and launching a pediatric behavioral health practice in addition to their adult practice. Others plan to hire more therapists, hire more psychiatrists, train their primary care providers to better support people who have mental health needs, address prenatal mental health needs. We know mental health care is one of the leading causes of maternal mortality. And many of the health centers in your area are also planning on adding care navigators so that people who have mental health needs or substance use disorder get some support when it comes to follow-up care, making sure they know when their next appointment is, they get back to treatment if they're on medications, checking in with them. And one of the critical things that we see from all the folks getting these resources is they haven't had the capacity in the past to do the clinical standard when it comes to treating opioid use disorder, which is providing the treatment medications. And so lots of health centers are going to be able to do that now with these resources.
Encouraging news, and we appreciate you sharing that with us this morning. Carol, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Carol Johnson, Administrator of the Health Resources and Services Administration, and helping with mental health and the opioid crisis issues that we face here and really all across the country. Coming up right after the news at the bottom of this hour, I'm excited because we're going to talk about Myron Cope. And for those who don't know, Myron, iconic and connected intrinsically with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was the color commentator for many years, worked at WTAE-TV, had a radio show that was really, when you think about sports talk, he was the original in this town in terms of having a huge audience. And the reason we're talking about Myron Cope this morning is the fact that he created the terrible towel, for those that don't know, which is obviously seen at every single Steelers game and will be on full display on Sunday. But there's a gentleman who grew up in Pittsburgh. He now works for the Voice of America, and he has written a book about it. He's all these years later, and Aaron, you're too young to remember Myron as a force in this town, but we played a little snippet, and this is just a 90 seconds, and you love this, right? Without knowing Myron Cope at all.
Without knowing him at all, this video showcases how iconic he was.
Yeah, and we're going to share this on our social media, but right now, it really is fascinating. And I worked with Myron for 6 years at WTAE and remained friends and in contact the rest of his life. But he worked with Bill Hillgrove and way back before Bill, Jack Fleming on the Steelers broadcasts. And NFL Films did a little highlight of Myron's career.
Stands out as unique. Meet Myron Cope.
Boy, you can't possibly make nothing out of this. You can't make nothing. I'm going to make you into buttermilk.
Let's face it, my voice is not what you think of as a broadcasting voice. It tends to cut through concrete.
That was a shovel pass, Pierre, to me, you know. It's the old coal, to throw the coal into the bin there business.
I always try to inject humor because it is, after all, a game. That's all it is. It's not life or death.
Tony Siragusa, I am going to describe him as looking like the guy they send around to break your legs when you haven't paid your bookie. So, and he does. That's what he looks like.
I'm a stickler for pronouncing a name right.
Would you have expected Rocky Blyer to turn into Nijinsky?
He was Nijinsky.
Well, then Nijinsky was a great ballet dancer.
And I have a little fun with those too, you understand, if they lend themselves to it. I exaggerate lots of times, you know.
And they shed that guy like he was a tensy fly. Well, he jumped so high he was at the top deck of the stadium. That play, if you'd have clocked it, you would have figured that it was a milk wagon horse running a mile or something. It took so long.
Tiger hit him. His teeth are in the third row. But we know his teeth aren't in the third row. So I'll exaggerate when the exaggeration is obvious to the listener.
Myron Cope. You're going to hear some great stories coming up right after the news with Rob Taylor here at the bottom of this half hour.
Tony Siragusa, I am going to describe him as looking like the guy they send around to break your legs when you haven't paid your bookie. So, and he does. That's what he looks like.
The voice of the late, great Myron Cope, who spent decades as the color analyst for the Pittsburgh Steelers, worked WTAE television, and his radio show is legendary. And as we get ready for the Steelers home opener on Sunday, I thought, I got to introduce you to Dan Joseph. Dan is an author. He's also a broadcaster and somebody that knows Pittsburgh very well. Behind the Yoy, the life of Myron Cope, legendary Pittsburgh Steelers broadcaster. Dan works for the Voice of America and joins us right now from our nation's capital. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Give us a little bit about your background, why, after all these years, you're so interested in Myron Cope.
Well, wait, before I get into that, I just want to say it's great to be on KDKA, someplace special. I grew up listening to guys like, you know, Jack Bogut in early in the morning, and when I woke up too early, Perry Marshall. I didn't come from a household that listened to Myron Cope, strangely enough, and I never met him. But I knew him very well because he was, you know, ubiquitous in the Pittsburgh market. And I had an appreciation of him, but that started when I was 15. I was reading a book called That Game That Was about old football players. I looked on the spine, and there was the name Myron Cope. To that point, I didn't know he had been a sports writer before becoming the ubiquitous presence that he was on WTAE.
Yeah, sports writer at a very high level for Sports Illustrated when that magazine really mattered.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was among the elite sports writers in the nation. He got paid big bucks to write personality profiles on people like Muhammad Ali or Jerry West or Jim Brown, people like that. So, I always knew who he was, certainly. And a couple of years ago, through a connection with my wife and a friend of a friend, I started talking to Elizabeth Cope. She had saved all this material that Myron left, including photos and scrapbooks and contracts and tapes. And we decided that, you know, there was more to Myron's story. He had written an autobiography, but there was more to the story. So I dived into that, and here we are today, 2.5 years later, with the new book.
I knew Myron very well, worked directly with him for 6 years at WTAE and produced some works with him, and then stayed connected over the years. His daughter Elizabeth, obviously, still in the Pittsburgh area. And for those that don't know, Myron passed 2008 at the age of 79, the first pro football broadcaster to be elected into the National Radio Hall of Fame in 2005, presented by Pete Rozelle. He was a legend not only here, but certainly around the country, and in particular with the National Football League. So what kind of reaction are you getting? We're with Dan Joseph, the author of Behind the Yoy, The Life of Myron Cope. What are people saying to you?
Oh, well, we've had a couple book signings, and the turnout was strong and enthusiastic. The book is selling pretty well. And people just love to tell stories about Myron. You know, I met some of his other old colleagues at one of the book signings at Barnes & Noble in South Hills Village. And we have a Myron Cope channel on YouTube, and that gets a lot of views. We posted video him the other day of a confrontation he had with the Bengals coach Sam Wyke back in 1989, and people were writing in saying, I was listening to this live, and I remember every minute of it. Myron, he's left the building, but his voice is still echoing around Pittsburgh.
Well, if you go to a Steelers game, man, the fans who'll be coming on Sunday, you see those terrible towels, and I'm sure a lot of young fans don't realize it was the brainchild of Myron Cope. Of course, the Steelers put up a video where it kind of gives you a mini history, which is tremendous, and the response he gets, even now, right before kickoff in particular, is absolutely electrifying.
Yeah, the towel. You go everywhere in the world. We talk to people for the book. One guy, he started taking the towel on his international travels, and he would meet people in Chile who knew what the towel was and who it came from. And this particular guy, he took the towel to the top of Mount Everest. he's that much of a fan. I think that the towel has. You know, Myron actually said in a radio interview back in the mid-90s that he thought the towel had taken a permanent place in Steeler lore and in Pittsburgh lore. And I think he was right. I think it's going to exist as long as the Steelers exist, and that'll always keep Myron Cope's memory alive.
I can hear his voice, and we still get to hear him at those Steeler games where he says, they wanted him to come up with a gimmick. And so he came up with the towel, but the beautiful part about the towel was he wanted the proceeds. Once it really caught on and became a commercial success, he wanted the Allegheny Valley School, which works with children, including his own son originally, who are dealing with autism and the spectrum, to that money to keep coming to them to fund all these years later the work they do there, right?
Right, right. And his son still lives at that school. Danny Cope is, he's nonverbal. And he's spent over 40 years at the Allegheny Valley School. And they receive the royalties. And, that was a very generous gesture on Myron's part. He had reaped some royalties from the towel. And then at some point he decided, I'm going to give this all to this good cause.
Well, you know what, Dan? We got to have you, and I'd love to have Elizabeth Cope in studio sometime when you're going to be up this way, maybe coming up for a game and a book signing.
I'd be happy to. Glad to.
And what do you do now for Voice of America?
Well, I'm an editor. I'm actually not on the air. I edit stories coming in from, you know, all over the world, really. That's my daily job there.
All right. Well, congratulations. Excited to read the full book. And again, let's have you guys in studio. We'd love it.
Okay, Larry. We'll be there.
All right, Dan Joseph, along with Elizabeth Cope, Behind the Yoy, the life of Myron Cope, legendary Pittsburgh Steelers broadcaster. And my friend. 745 at KDK from the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center. AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Let's check in with Ellen Gamble. Double Yoy on traffic.
Double Yoy indeed, especially on that Parkway East, although it is finally getting better there, Larry. Backing up just at Edgewood Swissvale as you head into the Squirrel Hill Tunnels. Maybe some heavy traffic at times on the city side of the Parkway East inbound as you round the bend past the Oakland exits. That was the scene of the earlier accident there. First responders working to clear an accident on Emerson Street near Walnut Street in Shadyside, and crews also continue to clear an accident in Oakmont on 5th Street at Delaware. No accidents on the Parkway West, just stacking to the top of Green Tree Hill as you head toward those Fort Pitt tunnels. Heading into the intersection of the West End, South Main Street with West Carson Street there at the West End Circle. Very heavy traffic for you now on South Main as well. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 7:55. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Well, it's a beautiful morning. We dipped under 60, so it's comfortable out. We're going to see plenty of sunshine, but it is going to get summer-like with a high of 87. Friday night lights should be good, 65 overnight. It'll be pretty warm for kickoff, and then 84 tomorrow. Can't rule out a thunderstorm or two, and looks perfect for Steelers Sunday. Mostly sunny with a high of 84. Kickoff is at 1. Parking lots open 5 hours before. Gates 2 hours before. Steelers hosting the Chargers. 59 at the airport now. And a lot going on. I'm looking, Aaron. You know, we have giveaway next week, tickets for Dave Matthews. People are going to go crazy. The Dave Matthews Band is coming. And we just heard as of noon today, you can buy tickets for Stevie Wonder, who's coming to PPG Paints. The first of only 10 cities, apparently.
Yep.
And he picked Pittsburgh numero uno. I picked that, the paint can. And I have a pair of tickets right now for Nick Swardson. Actor, stand-up comedian, maybe you know him from Reno 911. He's also a screenwriter. He's worked with and appeared with Adam Sandler. Very popular.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be at the Carnegie Music Hall. That'll be in Homestead on November 24th. 412-922-1020. Pick a number.
5.
Oh, you're making it easy on yourself. Any number from 1 to 1 million.
And the number, what if I said 25? Can you imagine? So we're going to go with 5.
I think, here they go.
Here they come.
All right, I'll let you get to your thing. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to get a breakdown with Dan Zangrilli. And we've got high school football, Trinity and Bethel Park tonight. We'll get a preview of our high school football coverage, and we really appreciate the work they do. They're phenomenal each and every week with our team assembled. And also in our next hour, the Great Race. Boy, this is going to be, if you're somebody who loves to run, is the heat a big factor? Because it's still going to be summer-like this weekend. What you need to know about the Great Race.